This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Caring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, and with me today is my lovely, amazing, glorious, over there in Canada, and maybe a bit tired, Amanda?
Yes.
I mean, Amanda, it's a statement, but the tired was a question, so I didn't...
I am a bit tired. It's been a it's been a long weekend, long couple days, and... I've already been up for 8 hours, and I feel like that shouldn't happen because it's only 2 p.m.
Well,
nap time.
Oh, you've been up since 8 hours?
I've been up for 8 hours, and it's only 2. I'm just like,
this is horrible.
Well,
I'm sorry for you.
It's fine. It shouldn't really be a big surprise to you. Miss gets up at like 5 and 6 a.m. anyways, just because that's what you do.
Well, that happened. I don't know why this is happening. I didn't used to do that. Oh,
and old.
That's just...
Yeah.
I get called a cougar now in other chats and on other streams. The person calling me that is in chat right now as well. So
it's true. So we got a hello, K Monica with a C.
Yeah, never mind. I'm ignoring all of the bullshit now.
Of course.
People might already have heard. We have a third voice. It's not one of us being really good at voice acting. There is a third person on right now. Welcome, Molly O'Reilly. Hi.
Hi. Caffeinated and ready to go. It would be really cool if you guys were voice actors, though. I think that's a cool job.
I think it's
a cool
job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tom could be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
He has like really, I mean, in general, a really good voice. And then I think he does the voice impression thingies quite well, actually, but he never listens to what we say. So we're not getting that, apparently.
It's true.
Not today.
He's saying in chat that I do the best impressions, but I can confirm that that is incorrect. That is a lie. The audience has determined lies.
I would generally also say that it's a lie because I can't even remember one time that you did an impression that was so impactful or so memorable that I was like, this is so great. And Amanda does such a great job at this.
I can't even do other accents or anything. I'm just like, this is my voice. This is my voice on alcohol.
That's a bit slurry, maybe, on alcohol. I don't remember because when
Scottish
you were
on alcohol, actually.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
it should turn Scottish, I guess.
I can't do accents. I can just do like scenes from movies, very specific lines. But if I try to do an accent, it will change over time.
It's so difficult doing accents.
It really is.
Just get teased for mine, but can't do any other one.
Sure, what else is new?
Just for the people who don't know Molly, and if you don't know Molly, why don't you?
I
mean, get it together, people, get it together. Molly is a multidisciplinary artist. Whoop, whoop, we love us some artists. And you're from Rochester, if I pronounced that wrong, I'm sorry, which is in New York,
yes.
New of the Yorks.
Very close to Canada.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we could almost throw stones at each other, almost.
We could.
Mm-hmm. can throw stones at each other. When I was in New York, it didn't seem that close.
Okay, well, there's the city, and that's at
and
the
then
bottom
there's everything
of the
else.
I'm at the top of the state, right next to Lake Ontario. So there's me and Lake Ontario, and then there's Toronto, and it's like right there.
Ooh. I mean, if we wouldn't have COVID and all, then it would probably be all different and you could meet or something, but COVID
sucks. It's true.
Keeps us all
there
apart.
Was a point in time last year that it almost happened, but it didn't happen because we ran late on our road trip.
Yeah.
I mean, you do, 13-hour road trips when you're in the U.S.? So
Yeah.
No comment about that.
Fine.
I interrupted my own bio. I apologize.
No problem at all. That's generally how it goes on around here. We do have questions and structure, but we say fuck you structure whenever we get the chance.
Can confirm.
I appreciate that.
And in general, what Molly does isn't also one of the reasons why she's on is that she infuses geekiness with, because if you don't know, Molly is a geek, into everything she creates. And also, she can't go a day without her hazelnut coffee. Just needed to add that as well. It's a hazelnut coffee.
Right there on the stream.
It is. Iced or hot. Doesn't matter. It's iced today. But yes. Ooh.
Is it, what is it, like proper, like regular milk, and then it's...
My body can't do regular milk. So it's almond milk. And this is like a latte, but it's got hazelnut flavoring in it.
Get it. Mm-hmm. So needed to talk about all the food.
Yes.
There's a coffee shop in Astoria in New York City that has hazelnut roasted coffee as their like base coffee. So there's no like added syrup or anything, and you just get it with almond milk. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
It's good. I like the syrup because I'm terrible like that, but
no, I love the syrup as well, but I'm just saying, like, this hazelnut roasted coffee is unreal.
Mm-hmm. It sounds really good. My mom used to drink hazelnut coffee, like the roasted coffee, and I remember like sticking my nose and like smelling it when I was little, and I think it just like carried over. So I just started drinking hazelnut coffee and didn't make the connection until later in my life, and I was like, oh, it's definitely because my mom just drank hazelnut coffee, and it just like system.
My brother just drank hazelnut schnapps and told me it's gross. Then I was three and I found a bottle and I drank it.
The whole bottle?
No, just something. And I mix it with cacao. Oh. You do the English version of it. Because he also said that cacao sucked. And then I basically mixed the two and I drank it. And then I told him what a stupid big boy he was because he told me it's shit and actually it's amazing.
Did you get drunk?
Yeah. I don't remember, too young, I guess.
I don't remember. I was young, so I probably did.
I mean, I had my first booze when I was eight, and I drank too much Prosecco over New Year's with my mother and my grandmother, and they had these small glasses, and they had small bottles, and whenever they were not looking, I was pouring from their glass in my glass and from the bottle in my glass, and then I was eight and super drunk, and I threw up like when I was running to the toilet right there, and I slipped in it.
When you were eight? And,
yep.
Oh, wow.
Wow. So, quite the happens. Life experience.
Never mind. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about you, Molly. It's way better than my growing up stories.
I don't know. We'll see.
So, Molly, give us a little lowdown. I know Monica read out your bio there for us, gave us a little insight, but who are you? Like, tell us in your own words.
Who the hell are you?
Who the hell?
Who's to say, honestly, who are any of us? I'm an artist, like Moni said, and I do a lot of abstraction, so like paintings, but a lot of like mixed media stuff. Like a good example is like this. Oh, sorry about the glare, but this is like one of my smaller paintings, and it's like layers of acrylic paint, and then there's some like things affixed to the surface, and then I end it with like a lot of Sharpie marker on the top to make this like shattered effect. And that's just something that I started, this style I started out a couple of years ago as like a compulsion. I really wanted to use Sharpies again, because they were like the forbidden fruit of my childhood. So I was like, you know, I'm a grown ass adult and a whole ass artist, so I can do this if I want to. And so now I use Sharpies on everything. But I also really like to teach people. So I'm a creativity mentor. I was a real teacher, like in a classroom for a few years. And now that I own my own business, I hold workshops to help people learn creative practices to process their feelings and emotions. And actually have one coming up on August 1st. It's like holding space for grief. and holding space for that, all the big emotions that we're feeling right now, and using creative practices for that. So I'm also a mom. I don't know if you can see the pictures back here, but there's like me and my daughter making silly faces and me and my son up there dressed as Captain America. But I have a 4-year-old son. Yeah. And a 7-year-old daughter, and they're wonderful. And yeah, that's me in a nutshell, I suppose.
That's a pretty great nutshell.
It is.
I like it. It's hazelnut.
Clearly.
Nutshell, I love it.
I love that grief workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And the big emotions. Amazing.
Yeah, it's needed. It's something that I've been needing. And I was just like, you know what? I can make the container for this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, grief is rough.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's something that you can only relate to when you experienced it. Like, you have grief, like there is grief, of course, but there is a different kind of grief, and mm-hmm. and it's just, once you're in it, then you understand, and otherwise you just kind of live through life thinking you know what you're talking about. But once you're in the grief club, you're in the grief club.
Well, and the interesting thing about like right now is that we're all in the grief club, because yeah. we're all mourning the loss of like life the way that it used to be.
Yeah.
And the actual deaths that are happening too, but also like you can be grieving over like a project that didn't work out, or a friendship that you thought was gonna go one way but it went another way. Like, grief is just like feeling a sense of loss. It doesn't have to be like around death necessarily. So I think making space for that is huge, because otherwise we tend to like hold it in our body and hold it with tension, and then we start, you know, getting sick, getting injured, because like our bodies and our emotions are linked. So it's really important to make space to doodle it out, which is basically like one of the practices that I teach. We use music and we just like draw. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Can't come join you with one. I can't fly right now.
Yeah. I actually do every Monday. I have a free version that I call it like a doodle jam. And it's on my Instagram at 11:45 Eastern. Every Monday we do it. So it's kind of like a reset for the week.
Nice.
And you're welcome to join whenever you would like.
That's awesome.
And for those of you watching in the Twitch stream, it's at The Darling Revolution on Instagram. So in case you all want to join too, you're welcome.
Yes, that's Alicia, who says that she wants to join, who's actually our artist, our resident artist for our Twitch emotes. So
sweet.
That's cool. And Tom is also saying that he took a class with Alicia, who was teaching him about meditation through art, and he just loves that there's things like this out there.
Yeah, it's great because it's so accessible. Like, it's really easy to get bogged down with everything that's happening and just like scroll and then just go deeper and deeper into despair because you feel like you can't do anything about it. And I know that these practices work because they've like saved my life time and time again, to just take out the notebook and the doodler, you know, like the Sharpie, and just draw to music and remind myself that I actually, like I have some control, like I can create and I can doodle and I can do these things. And it's like, if I can do this on this piece of paper, like what else do I have agency to take on? Like, it's like an empowerment practice. And you don't have to be good at drawing. Actually, I always try to like dare people to make ugly art, because the whole point is the process, not like making something pretty. So
nice.
Yeah.
I like that, because I don't consider myself a very good artist. So I'm like, oh, well, maybe this is something I could do, because like I make stick figures look bad.
You 100% can do it. Yeah. It's just scribbling. Actually, it's like getting into our inner 3-year-old and just like making a mess.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, my drawings look like the ones of a 3-year-old, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I made a draft for my tattoo artist for my first tattoo, and it was horrible.
It was hilarious.
What was the tattoo?
A puppy, a mouse, and some words and color.
Sweet. I drew my dog, which looked horrible. I drew a mouse that was also quite horrible. And then I just wrote, then my handwriting is also shit. So that was all just shit. So let's go into the rapid fire round, maybe.
Sweet.
Because that's what we have. It's never quite rapid, but we try. Cool beans. So, do you want to go, Amanda?
Sure. Whatever.
You go ahead.
Okay. We already kind of mentioned this, but Molly, where are you from?
So I'm from right outside of Rochester, New York, but I've been in upstate New York my whole life. I was raised in like a very rural, actually the town that I'm from is called Farmington. And it's very rural. And so it's nice for me to be in the city now because I'm definitely more of a city girl, but I've just kind of stayed in upstate New York my whole life. So,
yeah. Nice. And when are you a geek since? So you can tell us a year and maybe a story of your first geeky experience.
Man, I feel like since birth, probably, which was 1988. But so I have a lot of...
You're all so cute and young and stuff.
Right? I have a lot of memories from the 90s of geeky things. Like I was really into Care Bears, but like the original ones. Yes. And My Little Ponies, but like the original ones. Mm-hmm. But I think my first really visceral experience that I can remember is when they were getting ready. I was a little bit older of a kid, probably like 8 or 9. And they re-released the original Star Wars films in theaters to get ready for the prequels. And I remember seeing Star Wars A New Hope in the theater and being like, yes.
Whoa.
Nice.
Angel sounds.
This. This. So I feel like my first loves were like bright colors through Care Bears and like My Little Pony and Lisa Frank and stuff, but like I really fell in love with Star Wars first as like my first big universe. So
yeah. Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah. And other than Star Wars, what are your biggest geeky influences? You can think like books, movies, TV shows, teachers, games, or whatever else comes to mind that's really influencing your life.
Oh man, I'll limit it to what's influencing my life in this moment right now because it's like a vast pool. Because I grew up as like a theater kid and I was in music, so I'm really geeky about music and the arts and books. And so like Lord of the Rings is really near and dear to my heart, both the books and the movies. I love Peter Jackson. Every scene in those movies, like, oh my gosh, I love it so much. I've been thinking about Samwise's speech at the end of Two Towers like a lot lately about how he says like by rights we shouldn't even be here but we are. And in all of the great stories, like what really made them special is that they had lots of chances to turn back, only they kept going. And so that whole like speech, just I actually made a YouTube playlist that I titled Determination with like that speech and a bunch of other movie references that really like encourage me, especially at such like a heavy time. So definitely Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Stranger Things, Hamilton. I've been watching over and over because I love it. Yeah, that's the brief overview.
That's a brief overview. Good overview.
All the ladies on my arm too. So
what ladies?
We've got Gwenpool, Leia. We've got Leia. We have Captain Marvel.
Yes.
We have She-Hulk, Medusa, Storm, Dazzler, which is a deep cut from the 80s, and Wonder Woman. And I think that's
nice.
Are you going to be getting it colored or is it outlines?
Possibly. I've really been liking that it's like black and white.
Yeah, it's quite cool.
Yeah, it's like once I start on the color journey, it's going to be expensive and it's going to take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of like, maybe.
And lastly, Molly, what are your current geeky pastimes?
Geeky pastimes. I read a lot of comics. And so currently right now I am in the middle of the Mighty Thor series from 2015 where Jane Foster is Thor and getting ready for Love and Thunder. I haven't mentioned it and I don't know why, but obviously Marvel is like huge for me. Like I'm really, really, really into it. So I'm heartbroken that they're not putting that new Falcon and Winter Soldier show up on Disney Plus, like that we have to wait for it because I've been waiting for it. But I love watching like all the Disney Plus stuff that's been happening with like The Mandalorian and the behind the scenes stuff. So I think like my top two are definitely reading Marvel comics and also watching any behind the scenes content I can get my hands on, because I love the process of filmmaking. Mm-hmm. Like in another life, I would have been a filmmaker, I think. I mean, I've still got time, so who knows? But like, yeah. I love the collaboration and everything that goes into it. So I love to geek out watching that stuff.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I understand the fascination with that. I watched Frozen 2 the other day because we were talking about it. Yeah. And then I immediately started to watch the behind the scenes stuff because it's really interesting, like how many songs they write and then how they don't want to put one in. And then suddenly that one becomes the most famous one of the movie.
I know, right? That part of that documentary stressed me out so much because even though I knew, and I love Frozen as well, and I love Frozen 2 because like the characters go through grief and depression and like, oh my gosh, it's so good. But they talk about that, like they almost didn't put that one pivotal song in. And I was like, you've got to do it.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
So good.
I still haven't seen Frozen 2.
You gotta.
Have you seen Frozen 1?
Yes. So Alicia would love to ask all of us what our current biggest inspiration is, or are, if there's multiple.
Wow. Deep question, Alicia.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I'm always really inspired by like badass women, you know, whoever identifies as woman. So obviously that's what we're saying here. But like, so reading Mighty Thor lately has been really inspiring because she's just like, I'm just Thor. I'm not Lady Thor. And also Birds of Prey. I've been like watching it over and over again because the color palette is so good. So I've been getting a lot of colors to infuse into my paintings from the Birds of Prey color palette.
Nice.
Good.
Amanda already told me that I haven't seen it yet, which I don't even know why I haven't seen it yet, but I haven't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm outing myself here.
What are we talking about? Birds of Prey still?
Birds of Prey.
And that I gave you shit for not seeing it, but I also haven't
seen it. No, you told me. You told me that it's filmed from the female through the female gaze. That's what you said. Yeah.
Well, it was that was a geek girl in the news topic.
Yeah. And I still haven't seen it, and I'm very curious actually, but then I forget about things and then
it's incredible. And I don't usually love, well, there's some, we could talk about a bunch of DC movies, but they've been struggling.
Yes.
And Birds of Prey is excellent. It actually just like topped my list after watching it for geeky movies, like comic book movies. Yeah. It's that good in my opinion, because it's so female gaze. It's like all women, you know, team up. Like the costuming is amazing. They did like a soundtrack that's all original songs, which when's the last time you've heard something like that? Like it's so good.
Nice.
It's real great.
Okay. I'm going to have to find a way to watch it now because that'll be a nice quarantine distraction. For me, what I was initially thinking was that scene in Wonder Woman where like she keeps getting pushed down and she just keeps getting up. And that's probably my inspiration at the minute. It was the first thing I thought of. I was like, yeah, that's the inspiration for me, is just keep getting up and be more. Did I say Wonder Woman? As I meant, obviously meant Captain Marvel. Did I say Wonder Woman?
You said Wonder Woman. I wasn't sure.
Captain Marvel.
I was
definitely saying Captain Marvel in my head, and I'm like, okay, well, these are words now.
Wonder Woman's also cool.
I was just going. I was just wondering. Maybe you've watched it on the plane or something. But yeah, no, it's Captain Marvel.
That's what I meant the whole time. Yeah, my brain just didn't.
That is just the best scene of all fucking times.
Yeah,
that's so just good. That one, and when all the women band together in Endgame.
There's like two of those moments. There's the first one in Infinity War where they're like, "She's not alone," and then in like Endgame when it's all of them. Those are all three of those scenes are on my YouTube playlist, by the way.
So good.
Can you share this YouTube playlist with us? Maybe?
Yeah, I totally can. I'll send you the link after and you can share it.
That would be amazing. I feel I need this as well.
Yes.
Moni, what's your inspiration?
What is my inspiration? I feel like at the moment I'm more riding the wave instead of being inspired by things. So survive rather than thrive, I guess.
Also fine.
I mean, I am inspired by a community that we found just recently, and also what we've got going on now with the podcast and all, and moving over to Twitch. That is in general, like, really, because we've done it for 2 years now, as well, almost. And for a long time, it felt a bit like we were basically like shouting into the void, right? Which was fine. We were doing it. And for me, it was always, yes, we're doing it for ourselves. And I'm doing it. And like, I am just enjoy talking with Amanda about shit that I enjoy. And it's fine the way it is. But you never really thought that there were, besides the people that you know, you wouldn't know who else listened to it, even though like you see numbers, but they are just numbers, right? And so now moving over to here and like to Twitch, when I say here as well, and doing that at the same time, that just suddenly put a body onto the people that are listening to us. And that just was really like, there are actually people that are listening to us. That some of them really thank us for what we do. And that all seemed to come out in the last couple of months, like not very long, like even after this year at least. Mm-hmm. And it's just, was just really something where I'm like, this is actually really great. And then the community that we found and the community that we're building now as well, it's just something that I'm like, we can do stuff like this and it's great. And it's not just for us. It's actually people that are interested in it. And it's not just a number. And because we figured out we're kind of community people, like even though community can be exhausting sometimes, but it's like, yeah, having someone and seeing people and having people be around you for the thing that you enjoy is just great. And that was inspiring. I think let's call it inspiring. Yeah,
it is inspiring. I agree with that. So let's get back to Molly though. Thank you, Alicia, for the question. It was fun to ask and fun to answer. So Molly, what's the geeky thing we're talking about today?
So we're talking about getting inspired, basically what we've already started talking about, like getting inspired by geeky things and kind of infusing it into what you're making, what you're creating, because that's what I've been doing and it's so fun.
So tell us about that. Like, what do you love about it? How did you start? Like, because I look at your art quite often because you come up on my social media. I'm like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. And it's such a unique way of integrating like those geeky elements into the art. And I'm like, how did you even come up with this? Like, so just tell us more about it. Cause it's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. First of all, it's really funny actually, because I so long have been a fan of like comic books and like fan art and cosplay and everybody who does all this cool shit. And it also felt a little bit out of reach for me too, because I've been like a self-identified abstract fine artist. I don't know what the fuck that means, but like, you know, I've been an abstract, you know, artist. And so they've felt like two different worlds, because a lot of times like comic books and like fan art and things like that are more like portraying characters or like the realism. I mean, it's like fantasy, but it's still like you're drawing figures and you're drawing characters. And it always just kind of felt out of reach to me, because I was like, well, I mean, I can do that. I'm classically trained, but like, I don't like doing that. I really love like taking emotions and infusing them onto the canvas and like being a process-based intuitive artist. Like that's my happy place. So then like in the last couple of years, I just had this moment where I was just like, I think I was working on a painting, and it actually, I like to put my paintings up on the wall or like leaned up to look at them, because that's like half of my process is like side-eyeing them and being like, what are we doing here?
I love that.
Where are we going next? And kind of like waiting for what's going to happen. And it just happened to be sitting next to a Marvel calendar that had, I can't remember, I think like Captain America, actually. And
America's really ass.
Interest, yes. America's ass was next to my painting.
Great. Good view, both painting and the calendar.
Fabulous combination. And it was really interesting because I hadn't seen it before, but I noticed that the color palettes I was using were like really similar. Like it wasn't just like red, white, and blue. It was like different versions of that. So it was like instead of red, white, and blue, it was like teal, deep maroon, and like white and things like that. But it was basically like it was coming out of the fact that I consume so much geekiness. And so I had this moment of being like, oh my gosh, like it's like I eat geeky comics and all these things like for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then I like, I shit it back out in paintings. And I didn't even realize like that that's what I was doing. You know what I mean? Like it's synthesized in my psyche. And I, it wasn't, I wasn't aware that that's what I was doing until that moment that they were side by side. And I was like, oh, because like up until that point, people are always asking me like, what inspires you? And it's a great question, but it's really hard to answer when you're an artist because you're like, everything. I don't know. Like, this is just what I do. Like, I can't help it. It's like compulsion. I, if I didn't draw, I wouldn't feel like alive. If I didn't paint, I wouldn't be me. So I'm like, I don't know, like everything. And then I started to realize, like, I use really bright colors, like neons, like really saturated colors in my paintings. And I was like, these color palettes are coming from the comic books that I've read for 20 years. Like,
that's amazing.
That's literally, like, that's what it is. And, like, the fact that I grew up with Lisa Frank and Care Bears and My Little Ponytails. And so then when I thought of it like that, I was like, oh, my gosh, there's endless color palettes for me to pick from now. Now it's like, I can, like, so some of my commissions that I've been doing lately that have been so much fun are people send me either, like, a character or a specific panel that they really, really like. And then I take the colors and kind of, like, the energy essence from that panel and transform it into an abstract piece because I don't know about you, but I also am always looking for more grown-up chic ways to show my geekiness so that my whole apartment doesn't look like a child's room. Like, I'm okay with it looking like a child's room because I love all this stuff, but like I really want like more upscale, like tasteful ways to show that so that if somebody doesn't really care about geeky stuff, they can still appreciate the painting, you know? Like, because I have so much fan art, but like I also wanted like, so I started basically making paintings that I wanted. So it was just like, oh yeah, like I want abstract paintings that have like crazy, like green and blue. And like, I'm thinking about like Aquaman and like those kinds of like
things. I'm also always thinking about Aquaman, but I think in a very different way than you
Me
do.
Me too. I'm like, the light is not good, but this is one that I've been making that's like based on Aquaman.
And I see the abs.
The abs are in there.
I know, I see but, them.
No, it's great because like that's abstract work is like you see what you bring to it. So it's not like figurative or realistic work is like this is Captain Marvel or like this is a duck. Like the end. Abstract is like, oh, I see Aquaman's abs or like, oh, I feel something when I'm looking at this and it doesn't have to be a specific definition. So I love that mashup of like, I can take anything that I'm inspired by, like comic book wise or like Birds of Prey and be like, you know what? I'm going to make a big painting that has like a lot of golds and like hot pinks and things like that and like capture the energy of that one Birds of Prey scene. And it's just really fun.
I love that you see your world and your movies and everything that you consume also in color palette. And that's so because you said it before already, and I'm like, that's interesting. Like the approach to the color palettes because of it, it's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's interesting because I like wouldn't have thought of it as something. It's like the stuff that comes the most easily to you. You don't think about as being special. Like I'm like, yeah. Doesn't everybody think in color palettes?
No. Just very recent. No, yes, no, what Amanda said. It's just very recently found out that people, there are people that can see color. No, that can see, that's a, that can see sounds in color.
Are you colorblind?
No, I'm not. I just can't talk. But they see, when they hear music, they see the music in color. It has a name.
Yeah. I think I have an undiagnosed form of that.
Interesting.
Because music is a big one for me. Like, I can feel the energy of music, and it's like what kind of lubricates what comes out on my canvas too.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I'm just trying to make a living having fun being myself. So
that is, you know, that is quote. The dream. It's the life. That is, like,
yeah.
That's the goal.
Yeah. So what do your days look like, Molly, like as a professional artist? Because that's a really awesome concept.
I would be more specific about this. I would say about a professional geek artist.
Yes.
So everything is different since COVID came through. Mm-hmm. So it's been like a lot of my days have been just recently figuring out what that even is.
Yeah.
Because now, thankfully, I am back in my studio. I have a studio space that's outside of our apartment, and that's fantastic. But for a few months, I was just working like here in the corner, and that looked a little different. So basically, I was just going live on Instagram every day and drawing and painting and trying to cope and like gathering community around me, because that's what I do. So that's basically like what the last couple of months looked like. But to give you a snapshot of like a day in the life, the best thing about it is that it looks different every day. So it's very dependent on how I'm feeling. And I specifically like chose to start working for myself because I have anxiety, depression, and OCD. It's like a really fun cocktail. You know, like that means that a traditional like 9-to-5 just really doesn't work for me like, at all. And I really don't like having a boss.
can relate.
But the interesting thing about being your own boss is that you have to go through this whole process of realizing that you have to be a good boss to yourself. So
I don't know if I found that one out yet, but yeah, sure.
It's a process. Like
the theory about it, I know, but.
It's a process. So basically what I do is I get up in the morning. My favorite thing to do is make my coffee. So I have like my morning rituals. I make my coffee. I have like journaling and doodling and things that are just for me, like to get a sense of how I'm feeling. And then I use Post-its to kind of figure out what I need to do for the day. And I just like have them up. And then I like to be really playful with my process. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to close my eyes and pick some of these. And that's how I'm going to, you know, figure out. And this is all like over time kind of been a process I've developed. And then if it's a really, really hot day, like in the summertime, I don't always go to the studio because it's not air conditioned. So I'll do like administrative work on my laptop. Today was a lot of like trying to figure out the back end of the workshop that I'm going to have on August 1st, because if you are a working artist, it's not like I'm painting all the time. It's like maybe like 30% at most painting. Yeah. And the rest of it is like marketing and writing posts and writing emails and figuring out collaborations and doing all that. This week I have a really cool collaboration with a musician. So he is one of my friends that wrote, he just is about to launch or like release his newest EP. It's like 5 songs. So I made a painting to go with each song, and we're going to do like an immersive Zoom call listening party. So like that's a really cool collaboration. But yeah, it's some sort of mixture between painting, drawing, leading workshops, doing back door admin stuff, and then like trying really hard to drink water and listen to my body. And if she needs a nap, I give her a nap. So that's where we're at.
Yeah. I probably had it in my head that, I mean, despite owning my own business and I know all the admin side of everything, but I was like, wow, only 30% time actually spent creating art.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. But at the same time, I'm like, wow, I just thought it would be so much higher than that.
I wish.
I mean, how much time do we spend on all the other shit that we do besides the shit that we do for clients? Mm-hmm. Sorry, exactly. That sounded way more resentful than I am. True. But it's like, even, and even during client work, it's not that you just have the client work and then it's, but then there is the going back and forth and shit like that. So it's just always, no, I do love my clients. Sorry.
Yeah, and then you also get the added bonus, Molly, that because you're like a geek-centered artist, that you can consume geeky things as part of your workday.
Oh yeah, it's research.
Yeah.
So sometimes last week I watched the entire Pirates of the Caribbean series just because I wanted to. And then it was just like, cool. Yeah. I should also say though, because everything that's going on in like everywhere, part of the back end admin stuff has been me like filling out paperwork for unemployment and stuff, because like my partner and I both lost a ton of in-person gigs, this like all of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like he had in-person gigs like every month and we were supposed to travel a lot this year and our pay was supposed to be like up here. So it's kind of like down here. So it's not like it's all fun and games, like, oh, she's just painting and napping and it's like so glamorous. It's like, it's a grind. No. Yeah. But it's good. Like, I'm thankful to be in the grind. But
yeah.
Yeah.
If we could choose, we probably wouldn't be, but probably have to make the best out of it in the moment, because what else is there to do? Yeah, can't exactly. Just lie on the street and wait for better times to come.
Oh, we can't lie on the street right now anyways.
No.
Hashtag quarantine.
Quarantine. Yeah, but it makes me think of that quote from Gandalf, right? Where he's like, you know, Frodo's like, I wish this never happened. Wish the ring never came to me. And Gandalf is like, so do all those who live to see such times, but that's not for them to decide. All you have to decide is what to do with the time that's given to you.
Set so, also on your playlist. I really need your playlist.
Like this playlist sounds amazing. And we put it in the show notes.
My tomorrow so much better. Future Moni is going to be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. And you got to like create your own sunshine when it, you know? So that's what the playlist is for me. I was like, I need these moments from movies that I can just like dose with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love this.
Like geeky medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a public place? Is it something that we could share in the show notes as well?
Yeah, it totally is.
Okay, perfect.
So I'll send it to you. Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Thank you. Talk to us about like how gender comes into play with geek-centered art. Like, is it a female-dominated place? Like,
that's a really good question. I don't even know that I identify, like Mani, you were saying, like, yeah, you're like a geek-centered artist. I was like, I don't know that I identify as that. Like, I'm like playing with it. I don't know. I just identify as artist, I guess, with a capital A. And so because I've only just started this year playing with the idea of intentionally infusing like geeky stuff in, I haven't had that much experience with like the industry of like geeky art. And I don't know that I've experienced any other artist who does what I do. Like, so I feel like I'm straddling between like the art world, like fine art world, and like the geeky world. And I don't know that anyone else is in this tent. Okay. So, and like the art world is getting better, but like historically has been more male dominated, and same with geeky world. But I've been really encouraged personally to see, especially with like social media and the fact that everything's democratized. And so like anyone can have free access to the entire world, and it doesn't matter how you identify at all, that I've been able to like have gallery shows and sell my work and do collaborations and not have to worry about, because like even 30 years ago, I would have had to like lug my shit to an in-person gallery and probably get denied because like I'm white and that's great, but I'm a woman. And so it's, you know, like probably wouldn't quite get in there.
Somebody would have probably stolen your stuff and then sold it with a male name or something.
Yep, that's how it worked for most of history.
Yep.
Yeah. So, because even like in the abstract movement, to get like art nerdy on you, I'm like really into the abstract expressionists of like post-World War II. Like you think of like Pollock and things like that, but there were a shit ton of women that were part of that that aren't really talked about. And as it turns out, there was a woman named Helma of Klint who was making work like that centuries before that probably some of the men of the abstract expressionist movement stole from, didn't credit, and then, you know, like said, look, we've invented abstract expressionism.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really interesting. I'm like so thankful that we have access to all this history that now we can be like, it's not like there hasn't been women. There have been women the whole time. It's
yeah.
That we didn't know about them.
Yeah, and it's that's what always pisses me off in the argument, right? Like in the argument why men are so much better than women in so many things. But I'm like, yeah, but who wrote the books, right? Like who wrote the books? It's not that like that the books were filled by women who were just sitting on the sidelines admiring men doing their amazing shit. Mm-hmm. No, it's men who wrote the books and men who had the money who wrote the books. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the cool thing that I've been, there's this book I've been reading, it's called Ninth Street Women, and it's about like five women from the abstract expressionist movement. And one of them is Helen Frankenthaler, and she's one of my favorite painters. But there's like letters from her and a bunch of these other women. And the great thing is that they knew that, you know, the men were being kind of like, about it, and they just didn't give a shit. Like they were just like, we don't have time to even think about this because we're painters. Yeah. So we're just going to fucking paint. Like, because yeah. It actually was much more equal before surrealism. And then a bunch of surrealist men artists came from Europe and they kind of like influenced the abstract male artists to be a little sketchier, like, because they were okay. Mm. Everyone was struggling with alcoholism and nobody knew what it was. So that was a big thing too. But like, I love that the women of that time were just like, we really don't have time for this drama, so we're not even going to argue about it. We're just going to make work. And like the work will speak for itself, which it does.
I like that.
So
I think that that's something that we should also employ now. Like, you want to make drama? Go ahead. We're just going to do what we do. Fuck you.
Right. Well, it's not worth your creative energy. Like,
exactly.
I think that's why when I get so tired when I'm on like social media and Twitter sometimes, because it's like an echo chamber of people just like yelling. And I'm always like, oh, you are using so much beautiful creative energy on this nonsense. And you could be making stuff. Like, get on Twitter and make something. Please. We need
that
you to.
The epiphany of the questions that I have when I see trolls posting shit. And I said that in the last, I don't know, 3-4 episodes. I don't know. But where the fuck do they have the time? And what do they do that they find it so much more interesting and so much more valuable for humankind to create a fake profile to post bullshit on other people's crap, right? So what's wrong with you? Do something better with your time. Be creative, create something, learn something, do something else, but don't waste your time to just create shit for the void.
Yeah. Well, and they're probably really miserable blocked artists. So like whenever I think about that with like Hitler, like he went to art school, he was an artist, and it was easier for him to start World War II than it was for him to get through his creative blocks. So probably. Like think about that. Like it's wild to think about, because it's like the trolls on the internet are just like people who are hurting, and like the people who try to bully me on Instagram who are like, it's the same lines. It's always like, oh, a kid could do this, or like, I could do this. And I'm usually like, please do. Who hurt you? You know, like,
love. Yeah.
Have you had a lot of those kind of comments on Instagram, like negative about your art?
Yeah. I mean, the more visible I am, the more I get. And it's interesting to me because it just feels like it's like humans, you know, being humans, like, and just saying it out loud, like I feel jealousy towards people too. So I understand when people are like saying things, but because I'm so confident in who I am, I'm not really threatened by it. Like if it being extra mean or being a bully, like I'll just block them. Like I don't have a conversation with them. Like, I also think people waste a lot of time arguing with people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just fucking block them. It's not worth your energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like most 9 out of 10 times, 99 out of 100 times, like a lot of very, very low ratio there of times is arguing back actually going to change their perspective.
It never is.
Yeah.
It never is. Yeah. We think that it will because we really would like to control something and we really would like to save someone. And like, we actually can't convince anyone of anything.
Yeah.
So that's you just got to show.
And I think that's something you figure out the older you get. Yeah. Because I'm also like 30-year-old me, even 25-year-old me, she was like, why the fuck are you not doing this? And let me tell you why. And I'm so smart. And this is the reason. And now I'm like, do whatever you think is best. Because whatever I tell you, you don't want to listen and you don't want to hear. And maybe it doesn't fit for you. And maybe it's not the way you need to hear it. So go with, I'm not saying God, but something. Go and be happy.
Go and do your shit thing. Well, and like, it's like, if I think about my own journey, like, I have a lot of cringeworthy things in my past, and it took me a while to get to a place where I like understood them. And so, but I wasn't ready until I was ready. Like nobody could come to me too early and like try to convince me. It would have made me madder. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, I have a lot of, you know, grace because I understand like things take time. And sometimes like change is hard. Like I love change because I'm an ENFP and an Enneagram 7 and I'm just like chaos. But I understand that like change is difficult. Change is like tiny traumas for people. So like go at your pace. Mm-hmm. I'll be here just like doing my thing.
And Frasley said in chat that we can't change others, but we can change ourselves, which I do definitely agree on. Very often it's more about when I change the way I react to people, the people will react differently to me as well. So it definitely changes something.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't make others do something else, but you can always change whatever you're doing.
Yeah, true that.
Wise words.
Oh, I am an ESFP. I just had to look that up because it sounded so similar. ESFP. An entertainer. Never mind.
I'm the campaigner. Can you tell? I'm like,
you're a painter.
I'm the campaigner.
The campaigner?
Let's all go and make art.
Interesting.
Nice. I'm a virtuoso. Make of that what you will.
Oh. What is that?
ISTP.
Okay. Got it.
They weren't they very rare?
It's rare for a female, for women to be STP.
I could talk about Myers-Briggs all day too because my partner is like a profiler and we love talking about it. It's another conversation for another day.
Oh, this is really interesting. Yeah, Alicia just said that she is also a campaigner and that's our other resident artist.
Yay.
That is pretty cool.
That's really cool.
For those who don't know what we're randomly throwing words at each other, the Myers-Briggs personality test is something that we all kind of done throughout the business thing and throughout getting into business. And also Molly's partner, as she mentioned, is a specialist on that subject specifically. So, and it gives like a lot of stuff away when you do the test and then you read it. It does get a lot of criticism as well, I think. I've read a lot of criticism about it too, but still it's very highly appropriate for so many things. And I'm like,
it's just like, for me, it's been a cool prompt for self-growth. Like, it's not like gospel or anything, but it's been a really cool tool, especially for my partner and I too, because he's an INTP and I'm an ENFP. And so we have similarities, but we also have some very glaring differences. But knowing our types and how we operate has given us like a language to speak to each other. And it helps me understand other humans. So like you guys said your types and I was like, oh, okay. All right. I don't understand where you're coming from.
Sorry.
No, like it makes it, but then I'm like, okay, well now I understand the things that I say as an ENFP that would just be like, what the fuck?
When I read the profile, I was like, this is so fucking vain. I'm so vain, apparently.
Really?
So I was like, I don't like this. Yeah, some parts I was like, Why is this? But then they had like, they have like prompts on the 16personalities.com page, and it was even like, ESFPs, they can't deal with patriotism because they don't understand patriotism because of however they function. I'm like, yes, I don't get that. It makes no sense to me. And I'm like, this is so true on the other hand. I'm like, so hilarious.
It's like, you know, it's an accurate read if you feel uncomfortably seen. Like, yeah. Stop what reading my mail. Gross.
Yes.
Exactly. Like, are you living in my brain?
That's how it went. Mm-hmm. So, Molly, what advice would you give to a young kid who is interested or getting involved with art and embracing their own geek through art? Or
So many things. But a couple things that come to mind is, number one, there's always, always, always going to be a gap between your taste and what you can create. So, like, be okay with that. Just, like, make peace with it now. that means you're doing it right. great artists just don't let that stop them. They just keep going. Just keep making something every day and don't judge what it looks like, because I have to make a ton of ugly art to get to the good stuff. And I'm a professional artist, and I make tons of ugly stuff all the time. So, like, that's totally fine. And also, just, yeah, be kind to yourself. And, like, know that it's a process, and that even professional artists still have an inner critic, and you just have to, like, keep working through it. So
I like that.
Yeah. I love that. That was amazing advice, Molly.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I think, like, actually it's advice that you can put in a lot of other disciplines as well.
For sure. Yeah.
Definitely.
Don't wait for inspiration. Just make stuff.
Create your own inspiration.
Yeah. And inspiration finds you when you're working. So you got to do it. It's not like, because a lot of artists just like wait for it. They're like, oh, I got to wait till conditions are right.
Yeah.
Or like until I get the perfect idea. Or I get this perfect like art supplies or whatever. And like, that's just not how it works. So sometimes I have studio days where it's just flowing and it's wonderful. And a lot of times I have studio days where I'm just like, I'm here.
I showed up. What more do you want from me?
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
But is that also like general life advice, isn't it? Like, you can't wait for something good to happen all of a sudden or until the circumstances are perfect, because they never are.
Yeah.
And it works for life. It works for businesses. It works for everything.
And no one's going to like give you permission or like ring a little bell.
You're ready now.
You just got to do it.
Sure.
Yeah. That's amazing. Molly, thank you so much. How can our listeners and viewers find you online?
Yeah. So my website is thedarlingrevolution.com. And you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at The Darling Revolution. And Twitter, I'm Hey Molly Darling. But it's mostly just The Darling Revolution everywhere else. And I have a podcast that is also titled The Darling Revolution Podcast. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
It's a good podcast, can confirm.
Thanks. Yeah, Amanda was on it in the first season.
I was.
Like,
ooh, 3 years ago. 3 years ago?
Yeah. 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
Time goes by so fast.
It does.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. It was so fun.
It was so fun. Cool beans. So that's this week's episode. You can find Molly on everywhere on social. And we will see each other again for another amazing episode of Geek Caring next week. Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Caring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Caring and over on geekcaring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.